Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program, Today's Issues. We got 24 and a half more minutes to go on this program on this Monday. I don't even think I told folks what day it was, and I know they count on me for that. I don't think I did.
You did not.
My bad. Today's Monday, January 29th, 2024. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I hope nobody stayed home and thought it was Saturday or something because you didn't let them know, to go to work.
I usually tell folks what day it is, but failed to do that in the last hour. So, Steve, you grew up in Northern California, right?
I did.
So, did you grow up a San Francisco 49er fan?
I grew up an Oakland Raider fan. I remember going to see the Raiders when Kenny Stabler was. I saw George Blanda play quarterback.
Well, that's way back. That's 60s right there.
No, it was the 70s. It was the end of his career, and he stepped in.
At the time, he was like the oldest quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he was. It wasn't in his heyday. I mean, he was still the kicker at that time, but he was his last year. And I think they put him in when the Raiders were up by a bunch of points or something like that. They just put him in. But I got to see him play. Kenny Stabler, Fred Biletnikoff, and I've been a Raider fan for my whole life.
Yeah, of course, they moved now. They were in Oakland. Uh-huh. Then they moved to L.A. Yeah. Then they moved back to Oakland. Yeah. Now they're in Las Vegas.
And it upset me when they moved to L.A. I thought, I'm an Oakland Raider fan. But now I realize that it doesn't matter. I'm going to see just as many Raiders games on TV from Las Vegas as I would have from Oakland, now that I don't live in the area.
There is a rumor out there that Oakland will get another NFL franchise, and the name will be the Oakland Carjackers.
It could be. It might be.
The Oakland Carjackers, and I don't know where they'll put them in the league, but that's the rumor.
So we'll see. Apparently, the Raiders are, so they have not gone PC with the name and is it the logo?
Well, nobody has a thing about pirates.
Okay,
it's not like Indians.
Is that what it represents? Pirates,
yeah.
Raiders,
yeah. Like Raiders, like yeah, pirates.
Yeah. Arr.
The autumn wind is
well, you have the Pittsburgh Pirate baseball team and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There's no racial thing about pirates. Nobody has a problem with pirates.
Yeah. We can create things.
Yeah, though. I'm sure some of them they will.
Hurt feelings?
Only pride alone.
I know.
Pirates, you know, good guys other than pillaging and
they're not good guys, but I mean, if you want to, it's not like you got an African American or an Indian.
It has nothing to do with this ethnicity.
No,
fair enough.
There were pirates of all colors back in the day, so to speak. All right. Well, listen. One thing I wanted to point out yesterday, I used this in our staff devotion this morning. I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, and there was a player on the Ravens. He's a wide receiver. And he made a great play. The Chiefs were ahead. The Ravens were trying to get some momentum and rally. And then this player gets tackled on the 9-yard line, so he's about to score. And then he pushes the Kansas City Chiefs defender down the ground. This is in front of the whole world. And then he gets up and taunts him by standing over him. And he got a 15-yard penalty. And I just thought, you know what? This is a life lesson, really, if you want to teach. Now, I know we're all susceptible to making mistakes in the heat of the moment, but this player basically cost his team a chance to score right there. Now, he did later. This
fumbled.
Same player fumbled on the in the end zone.
His name was Zay Flowers.
Yeah, well, you just outed him.
Like old country, you can see it, right?
And then he went to the sideline and injured his hand because he slammed it down on the bench. What I'm saying is he cost his team a potential chance to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know if they'd have won the game anyway because he completely and totally lost self-control. And if you ask him this morning, he probably regrets it. But at the same time, I read the biblical admonition, Wesley, that we as Christians, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, mm-hmm. is self-control, right?
It is.
So self-control and lack of self-control or discipline it's a biblical admonition or virtue, if you will, that is self-control, a fruit of the Spirit, that you can also say damages you out there even in the world, so to speak.
Absolutely. Right? That's why much, if not, or a whole lot of the scriptures, and we talked about the Ten Commandments before the break, everyone benefits from them, whether you are a Christian or not. Everybody benefits from me having self-control.
Yeah.
Everybody benefits. His whole team would have benefited.
If you love one another.
If you love one another. We all benefit from it, whether we are adhered to, or whether we identify as being a born-again believer or not. So we should be promoting the biblical idea of self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which is evidence for a Christian. It's one of the many evidence of a Christian is
the fruit of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit, which is self-control. Speaking about Zay Flowers, I just learned here that he is a rookie. Mm-hmm. So you hear the old saying, it's a rookie mistake. Well, that was a rookie mistake, to say the least. And hopefully Zay Flowers learns from that.
It was a taunting call. He stood up over the Kansas City guy like he was taunting him.
Sure.
And what I thought was, if you're going to commit a penalty, at least try to hide it a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Under the pile.
He just did it in front of the whole world out there. It was, anyway, it cost his team big time. All right. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Steve,
yes, before we
get into topics that you're going to mention, the Republican primary process is going on, at least for another month. South Carolina's next up, and it'll be Nikki Haley versus Donald Trump, as Governor DeSantis dropped out, as did Vivek Ramaswamy dropped out, those two. So basically you're down to two people, and Trump's heavily favored, which causes people to start thinking about, well, who will Trump pick as his vice president? And I found this interesting. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right? He's running for president as an independent. He was a lifelong Democrat, but he's running as an independent because he has no chance to beat Biden so he decided, I'm going to switch over to an independent. But anyway, he was asked about being the VP for Trump, and this is what he said.
I'd also asked him about something I'd heard President Trump had called him early on and asked him about being his VP. I asked if it were true. Take a look. If he asked you that today, what would your response be?
I would not take that job. I'm flattered that President Trump would offer it to me, but it's not something that I'm interested in.
Did he reach out, or his team?
People from the team have reached out to me.
I'd also...
Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
I'm glad he's saying no.
Why?
I don't think he'd be... he might be an effective vice president better than what we've got now, but he's still a Democrat at heart, and I don't think he's going to have the policies that we would want. He's known, and the reason people like him is because of his pushback on vaccines.
That's right.
And he's kind of got a populist version of... the Democrat Party, but I don't think on life, or I don't think on marriage, I don't think on a whole lot of things that he'd line up with.
Second
Amendment, yeah. I just, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think that would be a mistake. But it is evident, what I'm saying is that was rumored that Trump had reached out to see his level of interest, I guess, in being Trump's VP, and he said he's not interested in that. He wants to run his own campaign. He doesn't want to be somebody's vice president. But I just found that...
It concerns me.
Why?
Well, because I was talking with Bob Vanderplaats a month or so ago, who's the...
Iowa family
leader.
Yes.
Anyway, he's a political... knowledgeable about politics. He's got a good reputation of knowing what's going to happen, of being able to predict things. And I was interviewing him, and he, at that point, had said that he would throw his endorsement to Ron DeSantis. And he did.
Yeah.
And I asked him, one of the questions I asked him, I said, you know, Donald Trump was quite verbose in 2016. He called people names. He tweeted things that everybody cringed about. I mean, he was a lot the same in 2016. But I asked him, is he the same candidate in 2024 as he was in 2016? And Bob Vanderplaat said, well, that's a good question. And no, the answer is no. 2016, he was the up-and-comer. He had aspirations. He had dreams for the country, even if he expressed them, you know,
crudely.
Or unfiltered.
But now, he, according to Vanderplaat and what I've seen, he's got a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of unhinged going on, it seems to me.
And a lot of people say he deserves to feel that way.
Well, no, I don't. Yeah. I don't doubt that. Yeah. I just would hope.
No, I'm just saying.
Talking about self-control.
Yeah. Well, we will see. Well, he's going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley would have to shock the world to beat him in South Carolina or anywhere else, even though she does have her supporters. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting who after this, probably after South Carolina, if he announces who his VP candidate will be, who his VP will be, and I guess you can put to rest that it won't be RFK Jr., Wesley.
Yeah, well, you know, his first VP was in 2016, he went with Mike Pence. Another person that of similar personality is for and constitutionally, that would be someone that would be similar to Ben Carson. I just gave his name away. Ben Carson. Ben Carson.
Well, his name's out there too.
Ben Carson would be a very, he won with Mike Pence as his VP. He announced it. He won a lot of Christians over. A lot of Christians were willing to hear Trump out after Trump picked Mike Pence as his VP.
Right.
And, Well,
Ben Carson, yeah,
that would be a similar
pick. I'm a fan of Ben Carson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, I thought the same thing about Mike Pence, though, what you're about to say.
Yeah, that didn't end well.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But you're not, I don't know how else to say this, other than you can't have someone as equally strong of a personality as you do with Trump. You're going to have somebody that's a little bit more passive, a little bit more, and that's not even the
right way. I would have Ben Carson read to America every night.
Yes.
About 9 o'clock. Right. I think that would be a good, huh?
That's what I mean.
He can even read the American history or Constitution.
Call it the bedside chats.
Yeah.
There you go, bedside chats.
But you talk about polar opposite personalities.
And I think it was the same with Mike Pence. And I know the quote didn't end well because of, you know, the January 6th and how Trump handled Mike. But up to that point.
It started well.
Yeah, it started well. And up to that point.
Yeah. They had a good thing going on.
But not many people end well with Trump anyway. So,
well, you only stayed back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there. But we'll see. You know, anyway, the short list, as they say, is out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason I bring up. You bring up Ben Carson potentially. Is it Stefanik? Is that the way you pronounce her name?
Elise Stefanik.
Elise Stefanik.
Okay, she's the congresswoman from New York. Mm-hmm. She's on that list. Let's see who's out. Who else? Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina.
I don't know if he's being.
You don't gain anything from that, though.
I'll tell you who's lobbying for it is Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, sure. Oh, see, he's one that him and Trump. I don't see that as complimenting. I see that as competing.
Yeah, Vivek Ramaswamy has a big personality, and I don't know that Donald Trump.
That's the point.
And would want somebody who competes with him personality wise.
Which is why I said Ben
Trump
Carson.
Will want somebody who needs a personality transplant.
Yes.
That That's what he said about Ron DeSantis.
Right,
Governor
right.
of Florida said he needed a personality transplant. So we'll see.
We'll see
what happens. But that probably is going to be in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
South Carolina's got to be Nikki Haley's last gasp. I mean, it's her home state. If she doesn't do well there, there's just no
right.
No
yeah.
chance.
No. She knows that. Yeah. She has to compete. And right now, former President Trump is way ahead in the polls. In the Palmetto State, you're listening to radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All right, Steve, what's your story there?
Just a little news update. This probably is not going to need a lot of discussion. I know you guys were talking about the service members that died in Jordan because of the
drone attack
sponsored by the Iranians. Fox News is quoting a U.S. official as saying that the reason that a drone got past security at this Tower 22 facility is because they sent it in at about the same time that they were expecting a U.S. drone to come in, and they thought it was the U.S. drone for a long time until it was too late. So that's how the Iranian drone got past security.
What now? Explain it to me again. What now?
U.S. official, I'll read this from Fox. U.S. official confirmed to Fox News the drone from an Iranian proxy that killed three American service members in Jordan and injured others got past their air defenses for Tower 22 because it was mistaken for a U.S. drone expected to return to the base at the same time.
That's a bad answer.
It might be.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like the dog ate my homework. I don't understand how you don't have
right
transponder.
Well, my first thought is how did Iran know that? Because the only way Iran would have sent that in is if they knew.
They could have gotten lucky.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, well we don't know, but it sure doesn't look good.
No, that's kind of scary answer. To think you can penetrate American military base because they're confused
mm-hmm.
on whose drone it is.
Yep.
Seems like to me you could tell by some kind of an appearance, maybe even. I don't know. That's crazy.
Our GPS tracking, to say the least.
Do we know how many were injured yet? Have they been reported
30.
That?
There 30? Were 30 that were injured.
So we got 3 dead and 30 injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could argue that's an act of war.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
If you can prove, of course, people are saying, well, what do you need to prove? That it came from Iran.
Well, and
Iran.
Yeah, and then obviously we've talked about Biden and his leadership today at the border, but the administration of Biden, these types of things are increased when you have a president like you've got who has in every aspect weakened our military, but also weakened our stage across the world when it comes to don't mess with America. And you're not getting that with Biden administration. And so you're going to, Between that and the now, I guess the two Navy SEALs were not directly because of an attack, but they were on a mission to stop.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
All right. Let me talk a little bit about our U.S. representative from Michigan. From Ilhan Omar is from
Minnesota.
Thank you. And she was talking to a crowd of Somalians in Somali, the language that they speak there. So there was audio of it, but it wouldn't do us any good. But this is what she said. She said the U.S. government is the Somalia is her first priority in Congress, expanding its territory. The U.S. government, quote, will do what we want, nothing else. They must follow our orders. That is how we safeguard the interests of Somalia. Ilhan Omar's first priority allegiance is to Somalia, and she's a U.S. citizen.
She said that when she was over there?
No, she said it here.
Oh, she said it in the
U.S. Yeah, okay. To a group of Somalis here.
Well, for those who don't know, in Minnesota, I think it was Obama, the U.S. began to settle a lot of Somalis, which is a country in Africa. In the Twin Cities area. So there's a huge many, many thousands of Somali people of Somali descent live in the Twin Cities area, including her, the congresswoman.
Yep.
You wonder, how does she get elected? That's how she gets elected, represent Congress. So she said Somalia is her first.
She's in Congress to safeguard the interests of Somalia.
That's what you call pandering 101 right there.
Yeah.
Where was America on the list? Was it on the list?
No, actually, she said first allegiance was to Somalia and then to the Democrat Party.
She's a squad member. She's a far lefty right there. She's very anti-Israel, very anti, I would call her anti-American in many ways. That's right. Anyway, she is a congresswoman from, you've seen her. Most people have seen her. She wears the headdress.
She married her brother, too.
She did.
Can't forget that.
Yeah. That's not good. I wouldn't talk about that if I were her.
No, yeah, she exactly. Go ahead.
She married her brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has reasons for that. She said that she did that to help him get citizenship, but.
Oh, to try to trick the system?
Yeah.
She didn't.
Kind of the opposite of Abraham.
Yeah. We got about 2 minutes, Steve. You got anything positive and encouraging?
Yes, I do. I want to shout out to dads who are raising their kids with great values, the kind of values we like to see. I have an example of one. Sometimes, you know, as fathers, we tend to maybe speak things that we regret later, but yet, so this is a little girl. She's going to say something three times. Her dad called her a name. And the third time you may understand what she's saying, but I'll translate it afterwards. Listen to cut 12.
What's wrong?
Daddy called you a Democrat.
What?
Daddy called me a Democrat.
He what?
He called me a Democrat.
Are you serious? Daddy!
Daddy called me a Democrat.
After about the second time, I started picking up on it. I thought she said Daddy voted Democrat.
No.
That's like, that's worse.
Where did you get that?
It's my Twitter feed.
All kinds of TikTok or something
like
that.
I don't know.
That's funny.
Oh, that's my word.
That's
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we had something similar when I was growing up. Walker, we would, for whatever, I don't know how it got started. But you would ask him, who is Bill Clinton? And he would just stick his tongue out and make noises.
Oh, yeah. Like that was back in the... Yeah.
Just like that.
He would do that. Seriously.
The same thing. And I was like 32.
You were an adult. You was an adult. Yeah.
You'd ask him, what do you think about Bill Clinton? He'd go...
Yeah.
That's when he's like 1 or 2 years
and,
old.
And, of course, he did it. You know, he did it on his own the first time. And, then, of course, we encouraged him after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
know,
keep that up.
Yeah, Bill Clinton wasn't too popular in our home at the time. All right.
I remember that election.
We are just about out of time here on the program. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Brent Creeley, our producer. Brent, can you come to the microphone and tell us what's we have a new program starting today, right?
We have a new program starting in about 4 minutes, Victory and Grace with Jim Scudder.
Okay, that's coming up.
Yes, sir.
It's a Bible teaching program.
Yes, sir.
And it's debuting today in about 4 minutes on American Family Radio. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Wesley and to Chris and to Abe and to Stephen McDowell, Abraham Hamilton III, Stephen McDowell, and to Brent Creeley, our producer. We will see you back here tomorrow. Hope you have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio.